psalm together, and we'll read it now. And it's Psalm 121, all 8 verses of it. And you might recognise the words. It's let's see. I'm not assuming anyone recognised it. So let's read Psalm 121 together. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and evermore. So I'm going to share a few thoughts from this psalm, and then we're going to have some music, and then Pastor Brian is going to share something as well today. So my focus has been more on the Old Testament, and then Brian will concentrate more on Jesus and the New Testament side. So let me just share some thoughts from this psalm. First of all, don't we thank God for the Book of Psalms, because it has the whole spectrum of life within its pages, and it's just such a gift to us. However we come to worship, however we are being affected by life, we can turn to the Psalms for help, for wisdom, for insight, for those honest conversations that we see in Psalms between the worshipper and God. For example, Psalm 13, verse 2, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? But I've chosen Psalm 121. I love this psalm. It's been a source of strength to me at various times in my life. And there's been various times in my life where I have lived with the mountains around me. But even if you don't live in sight of the mountains around you, you can lift your eyes up to the heavens, up to the hills, up to the heavens, and you begin to see the magnificence of God, our Creator, and it just helps gain perspective. And for any of you that have got teenagers or young adults in your family networks or friends, don't you sometimes say to them, don't look down at your phone, look up. You're missing out on life. So this psalm is really special, and I hope that it will just help us keep our focus this morning, that the Lord will give us strength, because our help comes from him. He is the maker of heaven and earth, and he watches over us and our coming and our going. And I want to just tackle a little bit of, maybe a little bit of a harder verse in this psalm. And it's verse 7. It says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. And you might think, oh, okay, I'll be kept from all harm. Does that really add up with my experience of life so far? Is it really saying I won't suffer hardship or pain or sorrow? Is life only going to be filled with good things? We can think about people near and far who are really struggling today. And other psalms show us a different side, don't they? The reality is that we do suffer and know suffering. Psalm 6, for example, says, I'm worn out from groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. Or another example, the psalm writer laments that he has been a victim for those who do evil. Or another, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life. So I think what we need to realise in this psalm is that it's not trying to give a sort of systematic theology of suffering or anything like that. But the word here used for harm in verse 7 is actually one that is used in other places, and it's translated differently. It's translated as bitter. So the Lord is helping us from being bitter. That changes things, doesn't it? Changes the perspective on it and how we see it. Really, what the psalm is saying, this one, is they are using exaggeration to try and explain something. You see, the psalms, they can write, and they do write, into a wide variety of circumstances. And we need to realise, in line with other psalms, the overarching story of the faithful care of God. No one psalm gives us the whole picture. We need to take them together in the context of the whole of the Bible to grasp the full truth of who God is and how he relates to us. And the other thing I want to say about this verse in particular is there a sense in which it's completely true that God does keep us from all harm, because it depends on how you see the word keep. The Hebrew word used here means to guard, to watch, to preserve. So really, if you take it with this verse and the next, it's talking about not just the now, but forever, the future. It's in the future tense as well as the present tense. So God is keeping us, even though we experience hardship and difficulties and pain and suffering, because he sees everything in now, the present and the future. He will restore our life. And that will happen partially now, but fully in the age to come. So when we hear the good news that God keeps us from harm, we can celebrate all the ways that he's keeping us from harm now. But we also can rejoice that no matter how difficult things are seeming today, he will be with us now and forever, because our future is secure in his strong, his gracious, his loving, and his everlasting arms. We're going to listen or sing together a song that's been shared in the Merston Baptist WhatsApp chat this week. It's called Everlasting Arms. And whilst you're listening, maybe singing, think about how you want to respond this morning. Maybe you want to recall the times that God has protected you. Perhaps you want to cry out to him and say that you need him now in this moment to give you that protection for this time now. Before we listen, let's pray. Gracious God, today I'm reminded to praise you for your protection. It's true, Lord, that you don't always keep me in the way that I would like, because I'm suffering. I'm sad. I'm questioning. But Lord, I recognize that my life is in your hands. You protect me this day in ways that I will never know. And though I might be suffering difficulty today, I thank you, Lord, that I know I am eternally safe with you. Lord, may my brothers and sisters here listening this morning know that touch from you, Lord. May they know that their help comes from you, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, help us to live with the confidence that you are watching over us, guiding us, protecting us. May we know today and through this week the truth that you are with us always. Amen.
There, that's it. I'd like to talk to you about our brother Phil. It's been a privilege as he's passed over the last 5 years to know him. Many of you have known him a great deal longer than me. And so when he had his diagnosis, it was so difficult and so sudden for us. And one of the saddest things I've ever had to do in 30 odd years of ministry, and I've seen many folks come and go off to glory as well, was to send out the message that I did after John phoned me, that Dad had been called to glory. Yesterday evening, I'd only visited him at about 3:30 or so, and read some scriptures for him, and I'd seen him on Wednesday, and he was at peace yesterday. And he had a lovely room, looking out over the trees, the birds sung. It was a good place. God found a good place for Phil's earthly sojourn to stop and for him to be called somewhere else. But you know, yesterday, it's Father God's choice, and in his mercy and in his mystery, to call Phil home to glory. The speed of Phil's illness, as I've just said, has shocked us and has shaken us as well, and quite rightly so. But what I want to say is, throughout it all, I paid Phil a visit, and we sat in the garden together just a couple of weeks or so ago, and then we had another visit where he was a bit frailer, and we talked about his life, and we talked about his jobs, and we talked about all sorts of things like that, which was lovely. To be joined again. So they're much in other words, but throughout it all, Phil's trust in his Saviour and in Jesus' love, I have to tell you, was unshaken. Sure, he would like to have lived some more life here on earth, but it was unshaken. And I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, Phil was prepared, which is what he would want us to know. He was prepared to meet his glorious Saviour. And he's now at peace, and he's welcomed into that heavenly reward. He's a treasured possession of God, which we read about the other week. He's a treasured possession of God, and he's safe and secure. But Phil's fine, but those of us that are like that in one sense, but those of us that are left, Joanna and Jane, Kat, Tim, his family, and us, his church family, and his friends and his colleagues, we grieve and at his loss. And I don't even miss his presence already. That's only to be expected. But for some of us also, it leads us asking, why? Why, Lord? Ruth said something to me a little while ago, when somebody said that, and she said, well, why not? Why me? Phil didn't say why me at all. But it leaves us asking, why? Why has the Lord done this? Why? We've prayed, we've believed, we've trusted God for healing. But I need to tell you that in the mystery, and there is a mystery to our God, he chooses sometimes not to our answer our prayers with a yes. Sometimes he answers our prayers with a no. And sometimes he answers our prayers with a hang on in there. But God in his mystery, and it is the mystery of the Almighty, of God eternal, the giver of life. He alone numbers our days. And it's a mystery. And we have to hold on in faith that he knows best. So I wish God had answered our prayers with a yes more often, but sometimes he doesn't, and it shakes us. But instead, that Phil was okay. And yesterday I read to him some words from 1 Corinthians 15, which I'll paraphrase a bit to you. 1 Corinthians 15, I think verses 51 and 52. And it says this, and this was just hours before, in fact, God took him to be with himself. We will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. Those who die will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must clothe itself with the imperishable, and mortal with immortality. And Paul declares in a great thing in 1 Corinthians 15, death has been swallowed up in victory, in Jesus' victory. Phil's faith was in Jesus who rose from the dead. And we, above all else, hold on to that as God's people. Jesus rose from the dead, and therefore that's what we do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah indeed. So you see, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's for those of us that remain that it's more difficult, as I just said a moment ago. But their brother Phil is in God's good plan being promoted to glory. But he's left us a legacy. I want you to, whatever you're feeling, right, I want you to, Phil would want me to say this to you at 9:10. We're going to have time for memorial services, which we talked about, Phil and I and the family, and a funeral as well. We have time to remember and celebrate Phil's life. But what would he want me to say today? He'd want me to say, I'm going to say to you, because it's become abundantly clear, and I had to tell him, because he was such a humble guy so often, he wouldn't put himself forward in that way. He's left an immense legacy. All sorts of people. I mean, the texts and the stuff that came through, immense legacy to all areas of life. That his legacy for us is his lifelong commitment to Jane, to his children, to his family, to his friends, and to our little church, to each one of us at Merton Baptist Church. And the scripture that is part of all this, really, in I think it's verse 58, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15. Phil always did this. The scripture says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Phil gave himself tirelessly to the work of God, worshipping him, writing songs, leading worship in season and out of season, when he received no benefit from leading us as during pandemic. Such a hard thing for a musician to sit, not even knowing if people are joining in, they can't join in. Really hard thing for him to do, but he was faithfully, fully committed himself to that. He committed himself to being one of your leaders, brothers and sisters. He committed himself to God's work, not just here, but all over the place. So many people from all around the world can share. And if I was to open it up now, you could all share things of what Phil has done and things he's done and the way he's lived his life. But he's left a legacy that he would want us to always continue to fully commit ourselves to God's work, because his labour has not been in vain. So, Lord, we want to thank you for Phil's life. Lord, we want to thank you for his example, his legacy, his witness, quietly and steadfastly, putting you first. Lord, we thank you that he takes a record of his deeds with you. And he's already heard your voice saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into that rest which I have for you. And now, Lord, sometimes at our little church, we have little hiccups with projections and sounds and all the rest of it. Sometimes Phil wouldn't always play in the right key, or we got something wrong, we had to start again. It's just the way we are, Lord. But now he's in that perfect place of that beautiful music that you have sung to you night and day in eternity, lifting his voice, lifting his heart, casting all down before you, giving you the praise and the glory. Lord, for every remembrance there, Brother Phil, we thank you. And we pray, will you help us order our days of life, that we might live lives that are pleasing to you, lives of that would honour Phil's witness as well, and that we might continue that work of quiet witness, of dedication and of service that you put on his heart, and a love for you. Lord, in your mercy, help us. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I also want to pray. We always pray, and as well for other people as well. We're going to pray for the family in a moment as well. But there are one or two others. We're talking with David this morning, whose mother avoided being kidnapped, and she's in hospital. People tried to seize her, we believe, because she's a Christian, and kidnap her, and she fought them off and fell and hurt herself. So will you pray for David at this time? Remember to pray for Dot as well at this time, Pat's friend, and give Pat all the grace she needs to be there for her as well. And if there are others like that you know that you just need to love and support. Sometimes it's not words, brothers and sisters, it's just a smile. Words sometimes come easier than an action. So we do pray for that as well. So let's remember others, all those across our nation that have lost loved ones, who try and make sense of life and death without faith, how hard that's been. So we pray that folk will find meaning and purpose in life, and Jesus will be lifted up as well. And finally this morning, I'd also understand that a number of female students have been murdered in an explosion. I think it could be as many as 30 odd that have lost their lives. I think that's in Afghanistan. So let's remember them and all those that are struggling today. So let's start our prayer together. Shall we pray? Let's do that. Let's pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We understand sometimes you don't answer yes, but sometimes wait and sometimes no. But we do pray, especially for your peace, which your word says we can pray, peace which passes all understanding, to rest and remain on Jane and Joanna and Kat and Tim and Phil's family. And the family and the wider friends and his work colleagues, Lord, who try to make sense of all that's gone, and friends far and near, we pray for your peace, Lord. In fact, we don't know how to pray, but we lift up those that grieve, those that mourn to you now, because we believe your word says that they will be comforted. Comfort, we pray, O Lord. And Lord, for some of us, seeing our brother go so quickly brings also memories of losses back to ourselves. I know, Lord, that it's brought back memories for me of my dad's passing and for others who've spoken to as well. So Lord, again, we ask for your peace upon us as we have to face hard things. But you are with us. Your strength comforts us. And we pray for your comfort for memories that are painful again. May they be healed and may they be calm in your name. Lord, this day we do pray for David's mother. We pray that there will be no further attempts to kidnap her, but we pray that she will quickly recover in hospital as well. And Lord, may she sense that you are right there with her. Lord, send angels to guard her. And for all your people, Lord, who are being persecuted because of their faith in you. Lord, we have little idea, you know, the fear that some may have to even to go outside to go and buy food, the fear. Lord, we pray for protection on your church, on your people across the world. And finally, Lord, we do pray for those that try to make sense of a purpose of life, who've lost loved ones during this pandemic or because of it. Lord, we pray for those that have not faith in it, that find it so difficult to make sense. We pray, Lord, that your gentle spirit will point people towards the gentle Savior. And that we pray that for, an outcome of this awful tragedy will be that many, many people will ask the question, why am I here on planet Earth? What is the purpose of my life? Lord, we pray that they will discover the reality that you, Jesus, are the giver of life. You are the one who has not just lived amongst us, who knows, who's familiar with grief, but one who died for us to reunite us to God and rose again and will come back in glory. Lord, we pray he will come back and there will be many, 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 many more who will discover that he is Lord, who will be welcomed also along with their brother into your eternal kingdom. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, rest and remain on each and every one of you this day. And I leave you with the blessing that the blessing of old, Moses' prayer that I also prayed for Phil yesterday. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Just take a moment. Let those strivings cease. And let the Spirit of God, wherever you are, touch you right now. And me, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, gentle dove. Lord, the music's good. And words of comfort are good, but Lord, those deep abiding presence of your spirit is genuinely deep, calling to deep.